Welcome to Performance on Track, a podcast by Voestalpine Railway Systems. Welcome to Performance on Track. I am Stefanie Brussen and I am very glad to have you with us today. In our previous teaser episode, we outlined the purpose of this podcast, which is to look at railway infrastructure from a system perspective and to discuss what this means in practice. And therefore, in this first full episode, we start with a fundamental topic: how railway infrastructure is planned, built, and operated as an integrated system, and why this way of thinking is essential for performance, reliability, and for efficiency over time. Therefore, we will start with an introduction to the system approach, look at its four main directions, and also explore how it can be applied using the example of a turnout system. And finally, we will also take a brief look at what this means for the future. And to discuss all of this, I am joined by our top expert here, who is Albert Jörg. Albert, thank you very much for being here today. And to begin with this episode, I would ask you to briefly introduce yourself and also tell us more about your role at Voestalpine Railway Systems.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's a great pleasure for me to be here today. And yes, my role at Voestalpine Railway Systems is Senior Vice President, Railway Systems and Product Solutions. And as the name of my role already describes, I'm dealing a lot with the system approach within Voestalpine Railway Systems. And the system railway is something that fascinates me since the beginning of my career, which was already 20 years ago. And I would say it's especially the railway as being an integrated system with the infrastructure, with the rolling stock working together, that makes our world, the railway world, unique. And I also would say that the railway, as we see it now, has been around already for more than 200 years.
And that's quite a long time already.
That's quite a long time. And you just have to imagine that 60 years before Carl Benz developed his famous motor car, 80 years before the Wright brothers took the skies, or even 50 years later, when shipping started using containers, the railway was already there. So it's not antiquated, it's old, but it's not antiquated. It has a success story, and this success story is to be continued in the future.
And it will definitely be continued in the future. We would like to stick on that a bit. Could you elaborate why that is so? So what are the main reasons for this bright future of the railway industry?
Yeah, absolutely. The bright future is also the success of the past. And there are four cornerstones which define the success and the bright future of the railway. On the one hand, it's the performance, simply the performance. What is able to be transported over a railway track in terms of transported goods or transported passengers. The second thing is the longevity of our assets. Service lives of 30 to 40 years are achieved also today under harsh operational conditions. This is quite unique. The third one is that the overall railway system is based on simple fundamental principles of physics. So the guiding of the wheel sets, the steering of the wheel sets, this is something that makes us also unique in the transportation sector. And last but not least, it is that the railway system by definition is sustainable and environmentally friendly. We need less energy than any other transport sector for transporting goods. And due to the longevity and the use of electricity, for example, for traction purposes, in many parts of the world, also on this side, we are very friendly on the environmental side.
And as we know, that is crucial to stay competitive in the long run, to just also be sustainable, of course. And That explained, I think we now already have a picture of the complexity of railways. So there are multidisciplinary interactions. With that, how would you describe the system approach? So what is the system approach and what does it involve?
Yeah, that's indeed an interesting question, because when talking about the system approach, we could start with components in a track segment, track subsystem, like a turnout, and the interaction of the components.
And there are various ones, various components.
There are various components, but I would not start really at components and the interaction. I would like to give you a broad overview about the system approach. And talking about the system approach, we have two scales we can use for having an impression what system really means to railway. One scale could be the time scale.
Mm-hmm.
It is decades that we are talking about when we think about planning and construction of routes, of tunneling, of the design of the railway, the alignments. We are talking about years. When thinking about track components, like I said, 30 years, 40 years for a railway asset is easily achieved.
And must be achieved.
And must be achieved. And this is one reason for the success of our railways. But we can break it down to months, from decades to months. Sometimes it just takes months for initial degradation to start. To affect our networks based on some overstressing in the beginning. And it goes down to remove this kind of defects. We're talking about days and hours, days when the lines have to be closed for major operations on the maintenance sites, hours when we are talking about rail machining.
So I can imagine there is always a very high time pressure.
There is always a very high time pressure, and that's the fascinating thing. We start with decades. We go down to hours with huge pressure to get the job finished within a couple of hours. But everything happens within seconds and milliseconds. So the time scale used for the axle passing the track, we are talking about seconds, and in these seconds, we are talking about milliseconds where the highest stresses and temperatures arise in the wheel-rail contact. And this is a system approach. It starts with decades and it ends with milliseconds.
And all of this has to be monitored and considered within the system approach, but not only the timing, but as well there is another dimension that we should definitely look at.
Yeah, and the second important one, it's the dimension of the length that should be considered from the beginning. When we start thinking about a new innovation, a new product, a new service, a new offer in order to improve the railway systems, we have to take into consideration the time scale, but also the length scale.
And this length scale can go up to even how many kilometers?
Yeah, we are talking again about kilometers. It could simply be the length of a tangent, the length of a network. But kilometers also define the radii of our railway lines. And the radius of a railway line has a huge influence on the stressing and further on the performance of our infrastructure. But it's not only the kilometers, it can be the meters themselves. When thinking about meters, we are thinking about, for example, boogie designs, axle mm-hmm. spacing in wagons.
And could you explain more in detail how this boogie design influences the system behavior?
Yeah, the boogie design has a huge impact on the stressing of the infrastructure components. So if we just imagine that some sorts of boogie designs that are a little bit stiffer, that have a larger spacing between the axles, these kind of designs are made for higher speeds in order to run stable at high speeds. This kind of bogies have some problems during curving and lead to increased forces in curves. On the other hand, softer bogie designs, reduced spacings have some advantages in curving, but may affect the stability at high speeds on straight lines. So the bogie design, the axle spacing, the radio of the wheels have a huge influence of what we can expect on the infrastructure side.
But it's not only the bogie design that strongly influences the system behavior, but as well, there is the wheel and the rail. So how this interacts with each other. What can you tell us about this?
You're exactly right. Yeah, we are starting with the bogie design. That is one component of the steering and running behavior of our trains. And the steering and running behavior influences the forces that apply it on straight track and also in tighter curves. But the second very important point is the contours of the wheel and rail, because the contours of wheel and rail define the position and the size of the contact point. And the position and the size of the contact point define the forces that are transmitted. But they also define the slips during the run through curves. So again, we start with the kilometers, talking about the alignment, the curves. We are talking about bogie designs, and we end up at millimeters in the shape of the wheel that represents the surface for the rail.
Smaller and smaller again. And this even leads us to an even smaller scale now, which is...
Yeah, absolutely. When we are thinking about how degradation starts at the nanometer scale, when the material is changed during the contact of wheel and rail. And based on this change of the material, we experience some initial damage. Here we are in the micrometer scale. Small fissures on the surface that then can and will develop into bigger deficiencies and degradation.
And what could happen over time if the small damages of the systems are not taken seriously?
Yeah, it's what we experience also in other technical areas. So the moment when you go there and fix the problem defines in many cases also the measures that have to be taken. If you're talking about small surface cracks on the rails, this can easily be removed with rail machining, be it grinding or milling. If we wait too long, and for example, defects also in the turnout area have the time to grow in the depth of the material, you have to exchange one component. And this goes further on and further on. First, we're talking about deficiencies, small degradation. Then we are talking about small maintenance interventions, bigger maintenance interventions, exchange of components. But if we wait too long, we are also developing into an era where safety concerns are present.
So when we look at this whole system, we can clearly see how complex railway infrastructure really is. And that leads me to the next aspect that we want to shed a light on, which are the four directions of the system approach. So when dealing with all of this complexity, how would you structure the thinking around a railway system? And I think I partly answered that already, as I said, that it is four directions. Could you explain that in detail?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When we look back on what we've discussed so far, it is really hard and difficult to find the starting point to start with a system approach. Yeah, we are talking about decades, we're talking about kilometers, and at the same time, we are talking about millimeters, micrometers, nanometers.
So is there a starting point even?
There is a starting point. Therefore, we need to focus on four directions. Mm-hmm. When thinking about new ideas, new developments, further developments in the railway infrastructure era. And as we also already talked, safety is the first one. Safety is one key characteristic of the railway system. Safety is always first.
A crucial one, yeah, definitely.
That's safety first, as simple as it is. But safety is also more than just the word safety. Safety is, of course, preventing component collapse. That has always been done. Safety on the system level is a little bit more. Safety on the system level is preventing root causes for potential future component collapse, also on errors that are not directly linked with the component we are talking about. This means if we can reduce vibration during the vehicle passing, if we can reduce slips and forces, we are also in an area where we prevent future potential component collapse.
So as it is a system, of course, all of these aspects must be considered, even if they are indirectly influencing other components, as you just explained.
And exactly, this is a system approach, not only dealing with the component you are currently working on, dealing with all the interactions, influences, influencing factors, and finding the right solution in that perspective. But it has also to be mentioned, it's not only the asset when we are talking about system safety, it is also dealing with the safety of track workers that are in track, that are fixing problems and maintaining our assets.
Very important.
And this is also to be addressed right from the beginning.
So moving from the first direction, which is system safety, to the next direction, what would this be?
The next thing that has to be considered from the beginning is financial viability. And this financial viability involves, for example, strategic financial figures, such as the net present value or LCC considerations, giving us the information whether we are working into the right direction from a strategic perspective.
And this is what we especially have to consider because we are always thinking in the long run.
Here we go. LCC calculations are investment-driven considerations. And with our long service lives of our assets...
That goes hand in hand, yeah.
It goes hand in hand. And we need to know whether from the strategic perspective, the decision we are going to make is a good one. At the same time, we also have to consider the actual costs and the budgets that are currently available to make these transitions. And these costs are not only related to the investment into a new component or into a new subsystem in the infrastructure. It is also costs about future reinvestment, maintenance, part exchange, but also inspection activities have to be included into the assessment of the financial viability of a component.
So looking at the whole system
looking
again.
Looking at the whole system again, yeah. And we are not done yet. We also already talked about it's the environmental sustainability that is of high importance. And we can compare it a little bit with the financial viability because we also have to think in the long run, is the investment from the ecological side into a new component subsystem a good decision or is it not? But at the same time, we have to think about the CO2 footprint of the production, of course. And it doesn't end with CO2 footprints. It puts us into an era where we have special attention to be laid on noise and vibration as well, being environmental factors.
So this was our third dimension already. That leads us to the next one, which is system availability.
Right. System availability never be missed on such a list because everything what we are doing in our sector is providing infrastructure so that the trains can run. and the availability of the railway network of infrastructure is the key KPI defining whether our trains can run on the infrastructure or not.
This is what our partners and also our customers, this is what everyone is dependent on.
That's the case, exactly. Availability is key. And it's so important, not only here in the middle of Europe when talking about mixed traffic operation, it also applies to metro operation with their 24/7 services we are experiencing already all over the world. It is a key aspect in heavy haul lines in overseas. So availability is something that has to be addressed in the system approach also right from the beginning.
Now, as we talked about or had an overview about the four directions of the system approach, I would like to move from this general view to a concrete example. Taking the example of turnouts. When a turnout is viewed as a system, what needs to be considered beyond the individual components? Because the components only themselves are considered, but the whole system again. What does that mean?
As I said, we can break it down further. We're starting with a big view. We consolidate it into the four direction of development and further development. And based on the specific example of the turnout system, of course, we can further find three dimensions we have to address from the beginning. One, of course, is the hardware. It's the turnout that is lying in the track.
These are the components now.
These are the components now,
about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in the components, we also have some areas to work on. One is the general design of the turnout. The second one is the geometry of our components of a turnout. So design and geometry define the force level, the stresses, the impacts, the loads that are transferred from the trains to the turnout and further on to the substructure.
And these are the technical interactions that need to be considered within the turnout system to ensure the robustness and also maintainability.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When we proceed to robustness and durability, we have to introduce the material into our consideration. So materials that providing a certain resistance to the stresses, but materials that can be easily inspected and maintained at the same time. So the loop is always closing when having the system solutions approach in mind. But that's the hardware, yeah?
That's only one of the directions that we need to consider again. So besides the hardware, there is something else, which is?
Absolutely. It is information. It is, in our first opinion world, it's centric. It is data. It is analytics. It is applications.
And by that, how would you say this data intelligence and also lifecycle services, what we will also talk about, improve the performance of a turnout system?
It is something we also already discussed before. It is knowing the condition of the asset, having the respective forecasts, how it will develop in the future. Combine this with recommendations, what needs to be done, in which time frame, in order to keep the system in a condition you want to see it in track.
And this is a challenge again, because as you have explained previously, damage can happen within seconds or milliseconds.
That's a challenge from itself. And we are also not talking about linear functions. So degradation is nothing that happens on a linear basis. We experience sudden acceleration of certain defects in the infrastructure system. So intelligence, always knowing how the system performs based on the condition it at the moment of the observation has. This is the key aspect, and this is Centrac. This is our intelligence ecosystem bringing this information for making the appropriate decisions in terms of time and in terms of measure to be executed. And measure to be executed brings us to the last point of the system approach in the turnout system. It's service related. So it is how can the turnout system be assessed manually, but also with automated systems. It is how can certain repair measures and service measures be executed, which parameters have to be met, and which kind of execution delivers best results for longevity of our asset. So that's the three pillars of a system turnout. So quite interesting. You need to work in a structured way in order to follow the system approach. You have to be sure what you're working on, and at the same time you have to focus on the areas where you can change and improve the system.
This is a challenge, but this is what we already do and are very good at doing, I would say. And now looking from the present, so from now into the future, what can we expect from system solutions in railway infrastructure looking ahead?
Yeah, here I want to refer to my fellow colleagues that will make the deep dive into the certain topics. So we were talking about turnout systems in very detail, where you really will hear a lot about turnout systems in detail, but at the same time, the track system will be addressed by my colleagues. So I wanted to make the introduction in how we are thinking, how we are acting, what we at voestalpine Railway Systems are having in mind, dealing with development, further development, new development of component and subsystems. And my colleagues will give you then the very interesting examples on the side of turnout systems and track systems. But please be aware that behind everything that will be presented, the system approach is behind. And we are always also dealing with the triangle of hardware, information, Centrac and service.
With that being said, Albert, thank you very much for sharing all of this expertise and insights. So with this episode, as you already explained, we have laid the foundation for the topics that we will return to during this podcast, always thinking from this system approach basis and whole life cycle considerations up to practical questions of performance in railway operation. So if you are interested in continuing this conversation, please follow Performance on Track for future episodes. And also, if you want to watch the full webinar of which this podcast is based on, please have a look at the Railway Systems Academy website. There you can find the whole recording, so also the video and also the presentation for even more insights on that. Thank you very much for listening, and we look forward to having you with us next time.